John chapter 9, we're going to read from verses 1 to 38. Jesus heals a man born blind. And if you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bible, and I suggest you do actually, there's some wonderful little subtitles here on page 1085. And as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And his neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. And they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know that he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." And a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they say. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshipped him. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
I think one of the things that God was doing when we were singing that "Come, Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, wash in the fountain," was that he might have just been touching people where there have been a sense of hurt that still is really hard to bear. And that he was able to heal and restore those things at a very deep level. Deep cries out to deep. There are things that we can't always explain or understand, but God is at work in the deepest places of our lives. And I know God was wanting every one of us to know that healing. And if you want to take that further, please do take time this morning, if you can, or another time, to receive prayer and to come to God, where there are those who are ready to pray with you, and just to continue and bless what God is doing. Because he wants to restore our sight. And sometimes we see things about our mothers, or as a mother we might see something about ourselves that we feel terrible about, we feel guilty about. And we want to seek the Lord to restore us, to see our vision restored by the Lord. This morning we're focusing on Jesus as restorer of our vision, that spiritual capacity to see more deeply and to see the meaning of things and to see the significance of things and see the love that surrounds us. One of the most healing things that my mum ever said to me was, "Joe, you have a real capacity to see colour. You can see colour." And she'd ask me, "What colours do you think would go here with the curtains and with the walls and when we're redecorating the house?" My dad did all the work. My mum chose the colour, and sometimes she would ask me about it too. And it was a very empowering thing, and mothers have that capacity to bless in that way. This man born blind and his parents has had words spoken to them that were deeply, deeply disturbing. As Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth, and the disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" See, in that time, rabbis had developed a principle that said that there was no suffering without sin. And it could include the sin of mother or father, and terrible punishments were thought by them to come upon certain people because of the sin of their parents. It's hard to imagine even the guilt that that father or that mother must have experienced right from the birth of their son. And it's hard to imagine how that must have affected their relationships as a family. What was it like being a mother in those days? But Jesus, without any hesitation, plainly contradicted these beliefs. But they were not based on a deep understanding of the scriptures. He was, as St. John put it, full of life and grace, full of truth. And the truth that he spoke into this situation brought freedom, not only for the blind man, but also for his parents. "Neither this man nor his parents," Jesus said, "sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." God had a bigger work to do, and he was about to do it. So Jesus came to restore this vision, not only of those three people, but also of his closest followers, who the answer was directed toward, and of course to those of every generation who will come to the light and receive their sight. For, said Jesus, "I am the light for the world, for us all." And as a physical demonstration of a spiritual act, of opening the eyes of the blind man. Jesus spat on the ground, as we read in verses 6 and 7, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man went and washed and came home seeing. We have a healing service this evening, and I don't know whether Ruth's prepared the mud and the saliva and things that we're going to use for praying for anybody who's got eyesight problems, but we'll see what God does. We'll probably use oil. It's a bit nicer. But he came home seeing. That was the miracle. But it wasn't seeing in the fullest sense of the word yet. At the end of the story, St. John records that it was not just physical sight that was restored, but the eyes of his heart were opened, and he was able to see Jesus for who he really was. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out, and they found him. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now, the Son of Man was that Old Testament term that referred to the one who would come and restore Israel, that would come to give healing to those who were crippled and sight to the blind. He was the Messiah about to come, the one who they were all waiting for. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And it was at that moment that his eyes were really opened. The man then said, "Lord, I believe." And he fell down and worshipped him. He didn't just believe in his head, his whole being was transformed, and he threw himself, worshipped this man who he now saw as the Saviour. This was indeed a miracle that enabled transformation to happen, the restoring of vision. And we've prayed, and we continue to pray, because that's the only way that our sight will be restored. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord," words from Ephesians. Because that prayer expresses a longing to see beyond the superficial and to see what God is doing, to see Jesus at work by his Spirit. And we heard that beautiful testimony from Deborah about the way God has been at work over the years, opening her eyes to see Jesus and to see the Lord at work in many different ways, so that she has come to a point where she can cry out, "Lord, I believe." And she is now worshipping. She is a worshipper. And we can all look and ask to see Jesus in our ordinary everyday lives, in our family lives, and in our life together as God's family, as a church. And that's one of the reasons why the annual report is so precious. It's such a, I don't say it's a holy document, because it deals with holy things. It deals with a holy God at work in people's lives, our lives, in the lives of our community. And at the introduction to that report, I quoted somebody from this church who wrote an email the end of 2013, and it said this: "I have been a member of Christ Church since my marriage nearly 50 years ago, but it's only in the last few years that I've really felt that I'm a member and part of the family of Christ Church. Not only have I seen people care, enjoy, and support one another, but also seen them looking outward into the community. We now have so many strong teams and groups led by really marvelous leaders, and as a result, people are feeling valued, supported, and part of a welcoming community. Let us continue to spread and share what is so good in Christ Church, and to thank God our Father for the love that's moving through our church." You can't see love, but she could see it. You can see it. I can see it. Because God is opening our eyes, is restoring our vision of what he is doing. Beneath everything, beneath the actions, we see God at work because God is love. So read the annual report with a prayer. Lord, restore my vision here. Let me see and glorify you for what you're doing and what you will do. Over this holy time of Lent, we're praying that we might be able to see the world as sacred. That's why we want to fast from those things that damage it. If the world is sacred, we will treat it with reverence. And in the book of Beginnings, Genesis, we read how God saw when he has created and brought into being this amazing place in which we live. He saw that it was good. When human beings come onto the scene, he sees that they are very good. Yes, we have a doctrine of original sin, but there's a deeper doctrine than that. The doctrine of original goodness. God saw that human beings are very good. May Jesus restore that vision of the inherent goodness of his world that we are called to be creators, stewards of. So let me conclude by coming back to one very practical way that we can learn to see with vision restored by Christ. It's a spiritual exercise that some in our church are practicing regularly as individuals and as married couples and as triads, triplets, or as quads or quaddies, as one foursome calls themselves, the quaddies. And they're looking to look over the day that's just been or the week in a particular way. It's a special way of learning to see with vision restored. And I wonder whether Harry could put this up on the screen for us. It's the prayer of examine, which is a daily exercise initiated by St. Ignatius some 600 years ago, so it's quite tested. And it's there to help people to see and serve God through reflection. And it has four simple steps, and it takes about 15 minutes or 15 hours, if you want to, to complete. And it has four letters, S-T-I-R, stir. So you can remember that if you're stirring your cup of cocoa in the evening just before you go to bed, or if you're stirring in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, you can remember this. Stillness, thankfulness, inspiration, and review, and resolve. That's the four things. And John Tooby, thankfully, has put a copy of this on the website that you can refer to. And if you want a hard copy, then please do let me know. But just to enable yourself to be still, to relax, and to allow the tensions of the day to dissipate and recognize that you're in God's presence. And then to look at the day with gratitude, to be thankful for the gifts God has given you this day. A task completed, a relationship deepened, progress made on a project at work, customers well served. Inspiration, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see and understand how his love has been working in you today and how you've acted and your limitations. And then finally, reflect. Review the day. Reflect peacefully on what has been happening to you in and through your day. And having asked God for the help of his Spirit, trust that he will show you whatever he wants you to see and resolve to do one thing differently as a result. I commend that to you as a way of enabling ourselves to be in the presence of the God who restores our vision. And I'd like us just to now, on the service sheet, if you have one, or on the website, my head's getting scrambled here, on the screen, follow this simple prayer, this act of praying with our bodies, as it were, our hands, our feet, and our heart. Maybe as we are seated, we can just look at our hands first. As we look at our hands, we're wanting to see, asking God to help us to see the significance of what we do with our hands, and similarly with our feet, etc. Look at your hands, see the touch and the tenderness. God's own for the world. Look at your feet, see the path and the direction. God's own for the world. Look at your heart and see the fire and the love. God's own for the world. Look at the cross. See God's Son and our Saviour. God's own for the world. This is God's world, and we will serve God in it.